First, he is the pitching coach for the Toronto Blue Jays, and pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day, which is, Barker, when?
Seven days from now.
7 days from now. Very good. Or a week. Mm. Man, this remedial math is just killing me.
Show got smarter all of a sudden, didn't it?
Boy, you did. here is the Blue Jays pitching coach. Here's Pete Walker. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Bob, Kev, how you doing?
Hey, Pete.
We're doing good.
Good to be here.
It's that time of year. Do you get antsy? Do you get itchy? Do you get anxious? Are you ready to go?
We're ready to go.
All right.
I think everybody is. I mean, it's a long winter, and it's always good when, you know, pitchers and catchers report, and you get the itch to get down there to Florida and get back to your team, and we're really looking forward to it.
There are issues that you will have to address, but the starting rotation seems to be pretty much locked in. It's pretty hard to imagine that the five guys we believe will be in the starting rotation won't be. Does that change the way you approach spring in terms of the starters, knowing that there really aren't jobs to be won there?
Well, it's certainly a good feeling. I mean, I can't complain, that's for sure. When you got five guys who, you know, have done it before, are coming off of strong seasons and are healthy, those are all good things. So, you know, we were very fortunate last year with the health, obviously, you know, knock on wood. And when that happens, obviously a lot of people are responsible, including the player themselves. So we want to keep it that way. And obviously that puts you in a good position moving forward when you keep those guys healthy. But it's nice going into spring. We got five, like I said, five solid starters. And, you know, we'll put that bullpen together. We've made some good moves, and I'm really encouraged about the things that we've done there.
Yeah, Pete, you know, you talk about the starting rotation. The one guy that stands out to me is Francisco Liriano. You look at him, and I've said this before on other shows, that I think he's going to have a monster year. First and foremost, I think a guy that can pitch with stuff like that down in your rotation, 3, 4, and 5, who knows where he's going to pitch. What do you think his upside could be in 2017?
I'm excited. I mean, I think we saw it last year at the end of the year, and I think he was really comfortable with this team. And, you know, I think moving forward, I think there's not much pressure on him. He's got a great supporting staff. You know, when you got four of the guys that are as solid as our guys were, I think it kind of takes a little pressure off you as a starting pitcher. And he can pitch at the back end of that rotation, but he's certainly not a number 4 or 5 starter when he's on. You know, he's capable of being a frontline starter, so it's a luxury to have him in that 4 or 5 hole, you know, and the way I really look at it, and I've said it before, I mean, I know there's a lot of talk last year about, you know, the number one, who's the number one, and I feel we have 5 number ones. So I really do. When those starting pitchers are on top of their game, they can be as good as anybody in baseball. You know, you've seen Estrada and Happ and Sanchez and Stroman. So when they're on their game, they're good, and Francisco fits right into that mold.
There has been a lot of talk about what's going to happen, what you're going to ask Biagini to do during spring, but more importantly, what that will mean. You're going to, according to reports, you're going to stretch him out a little bit.
Yeah.
My friend Barker here believes that so that he can pitch more out of the pen. Others believe it's to put him in a position to maybe be that sixth starter if you need that guy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a kid that certainly started in the past. You know, he's got a starter's mentality. He was exceptional out of the bullpen for us, but certainly he's got a starter's build and repertoire. So, you know, moving forward, right now, yeah, he's penciled into that bullpen. And, you know, barring anything unforeseen in spring training, you know, a starter does happen to go down for a couple of weeks or something happens. You know, you got the fingernail, the blister. He's certainly a guy that we feel could potentially step in. But by stretching him out a little bit in spring training, I mean, I don't know how long we'll do it or what the exact, I mean, we have a plan, but things can change. But certainly stretching him out initially is the plan, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, he's definitely a reliable reliever. We saw it last year. But I think down the road, you know, I'm not exactly sure that, you know, when that'll be, but he certainly is capable of starting in the big leagues with his stuff.
So you stretch him out a little bit to kind of put him in a position where maybe he can be that sixth starter if you need the guy. But does it also mean you would likely use him for more than one inning when we see him in a game?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think that's a strong possibility. I think with the additions that we have right now, obviously you got Grilly and Asuna. We picked up Joe Smith. You got Howell, you know, Loop, Oberholzer. There's a few other, you know, a few lefties there now that we can look at. I think he can be a guy that could pitch in multiple roles. You know, he could be a two-inning guy, two-plus on occasion. He can also pitch short. But I think just giving him the opportunity to work on that changeup a little bit in spring training, which is something we talked about at the end of the year, I think that's a pitch that he can effectively use out of the pen as well. But, you know, getting a chance to stretch out a little bit and continue to develop and grow as a pitcher is important. And sometimes it's hard to do out of the bullpen strictly for one inning at a time. So it's a luxury we have during spring training to stretch him out, work on some things, and also puts him in a position to go multiple innings if need be during the course of the season. And like I said, that role could change. He could pitch in the fifth and the sixth. He could pitch in the eighth. We've seen him do it. So I think we'll take good care of him this spring, but give him an opportunity to continue to develop.
Yeah, now, Petey, I wanted to sort of lump this together. I said earlier about on this show that if Roberto Osuna gets hurt, you can back the big truck up at the Rogers Center and put everybody on. The season's over. Now, I say that jokingly because, that's really not true. But if you're looking at one guy that you can't do without, it's that guy. And then you think about him and Stroman going to the WBC. Now, whenever I was a player, they obviously didn't have that. And that would have been a huge deal for me to be able to play for my country. But now you look at these two guys, Osuna and Stroman, you lose those two guys. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You're the pitching coach. What does that do to you going into spring training? So, they're heating it up now to play in the WBC. When they come back from that in spring training, how do you handle those two?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not my favorite thing, but it is. It's part of the big league now. It's something we have to be able to accommodate these guys. If they're healthy and able to pitch, we can't stand in their way, and really don't want to. It's one of those things where you do have to ramp it up maybe a little bit earlier than the other guys, but not to an extreme. Those guys are down there throwing. Stroman's in Florida, and I know Roberto's been throwing. We've been in contact. So, they're going to come in prepared to go pitch in the WBC. When they come back from pitching the WBC, they'll fall right in line. And, it's one of those things as a pitching coach is putting a puzzle together during spring training. You got to make sure everybody's prepared. Everybody has their innings, in place. And, for guys like in their situation, you got to accommodate them a little bit more. And it's more of a balancing act. I'll be in communication with their pitching coaches during the WBC. To make sure they're not overused, and also with them in particular. So, it's not ideal. It's not like when you're drawing up the season, it's something you would put in. That's for sure. It's one of those things it's kind of a necessary evil right now, and we'll deal with it. And I'm sure those guys are going to represent their countries really well.
With Pete Walker, the Blue Jays pitching coach, how much time do you spend with either on the telephone or in person with the guys on your pitching staff over the course of the off season? I think people would be interested in that.
I enjoy keeping in touch with those guys. 10, 15 years ago, you didn't have the text messaging like you do now.
Yeah.
So you'd have to pick up the phone and call your buddies or check in with your fellow pitchers or teammates or even coaches. But now it's the texting, the world that we're in. It's easy. It's kind of inexcusable if you don't. So, we touch base and check on them, weekly, see how they're doing, see how they're feeling. Sometimes could be anything. You could be talking about the Super Bowl, just checking in and saying hello. So I do stay in touch with those guys. I love my guys. I've expressed it before. It's a great group of guys. I'm fortunate to be their pitching coach and be around a lot during the course of the season, obviously. So it's like an extended family, and I like to treat it as such. So in the off season, we stay in touch, we communicate, and that's a big part of our relationship.
Yeah, now, Petey, whenever I heard that Major League Baseball was thinking about changing the strike zone, I actually thought of you. I thought that you have a rotation that throws a lot of sinkers. A pitching coach says keep it at the knees. You talk about the one guy that throws more sinkers than anybody is Stroman, who leads Major League Baseball in ground ball percentage. Basically how he does that, he lives below the knees. Now, maybe Major League Baseball is going to come out and say strike below the knees, that's not a strike. Now it has to be above the knees. How does that change your mindset when it goes to talking to a sinker ball rotation?
Yeah, it's not changing anything yet until I see it and see how it's going to affect us. I think that's the bottom line. But, we've taught these guys to pound that ball down the zone, especially sinker ball, is looking for that ground ball. And, you know, if you get that low strike right below the knee, it forces those guys to swing at those pitches and beat it into the ground. So that's what we want. So, you know, I wouldn't be thrilled with a change in the strike zone and bringing it up, because obviously you're catering to the hitters in baseball, and I think there's certainly enough offense and enough home runs being hit out there that I don't think we need to do that. But, you know, if that's the case, we'll deal with it. And one thing we have done, and I think we've done a good job of, Russ especially, and working with some of these pitchers, we've been elevating. And, you know, elevating that fastball. So sometimes when you get Aaron Sanchez to start to elevate, Marcus Stroman to elevate, it takes a little pressure off them down in the zone, where they don't have to be as fine, where they don't have to live below the knee. You know, if you're raising the eyes, you know, with a four seamers up in the zone, four seamers up and in, and then you're sinking the ball at the knee, you should be in good shape. So, you know, for the guys that just live down there 90% of the time, certainly hitters will make the adjustment.
We were talking earlier, Barker and I, and he mentioned that one of the things he would like to see, and I think you would probably like to see too, is a little change in the velocity of Sanchez's changeup. Yeah. It might be a little too strong to give you that variable. Yeah. Well, I don't have any ideas, but do you have any ideas as to how to do that?
Yeah, I do, and he's been great. He's developing in the big leagues. You know, he's got one of the best sinkers in the game. His curveball really came along last year, where he was able to throw up for strikes and throw it, you know, for a ball, take it out of the zone for a swing and a miss. You know, he's getting ahead with it at times. So he did a great job with that pitch. The changeup was a pitch that was hit or miss at times. You know, it's been a work in progress, but I think we made some good strides towards the end of the year. This spring is certainly a focus. You know, we've played around with some grips. We've done some different things. You know, we do work on it. It's one of those pitches. It's been a tough pitch for him to develop. Mm-hmm. It's because of the velocity, you know, because it's hard. You know, it can be up there at 88, 89, 90 miles an hour, even 91, you'll see. So at the end of the year, we got him to throw some 86, 87s, and if we can keep it in that area, I think it'll be a much more effective pitch with that good arm speed. But it's certainly, that's a pitch with, you know, between Stroman and Sanchez, you know, they love to watch Marco pitch, and they see what that changeup can do. So they realize it. We all understand how important it is at the major league level to control bat speed. So, you know, this spring it's a focus, and I think once he gets that pitch down where it's a pitch he can throw any time, he could elevate his game even more.
I only got about a minute, so I need a quick answer. I know Barker and I were talking about among the changes that Major League Baseball is contemplating is the automatic walk, intentional walk.
Right.
In other words, you don't have to throw those four pitches, as if that's going to speed up the game noticeably, and I would argue, no, it ain't. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think they're trying to speed up the game, and you know they make a couple of adjustments every once in a while. It's not gonna kill anybody. I think that's, you know, that rule's a little unnecessary. Like you said, I don't think it makes that much of a difference in the pace of a game over the course of a season, certainly. But if they do it, it's really no skin off my back. I don't think it would really affect anybody or bother anybody in our dugout. That's for sure. If we did that, so I really don't have a problem with it, but I don't think it's necessary.
Pete, you got a week until everybody reports. We wish you a good season. We'll hopefully have a chance to chat a few times over the course of the year, and thank you very much for your time today.
Anytime, Bob. Take care, Kevin.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Pete Walker, Blue Jays pitching coach.